Have any questions? I don't know. Are we going to entertain questions following these or en masse later?
You know, why don't we get through staff's presentation? If we have a couple of minutes before we break, I'm holding my questions, and I think we'll do it that way.
So speaking next, focusing on surface water issues, after we've heard from Matt regarding groundwater issues, we will hear from Karen Worcester of our staff.
Good morning, Chairman Young, members of the board. Can everyone hear me? Yeah. Okay, I'm Karen Worcester, staff environmental scientist. I'll be talking about surface water conditions, particularly in agricultural areas of our region. I'll be talking today about data collected both by our own Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Program in combination with the data collected by the Cooperative Monitoring Program for Agriculture. All of that data is now available on our website, ccamp.www.ccamp.org. If you want to go and look at many of the graphs and charts I'm showing here today are available there, as is a lot of additional data on other parameters. I'm going to take just a minute to remind us why we care about surface water quality. Matt spent quite a bit of time talking about nitrate issues in groundwater, and one important thing to know about surface water is it often recharges groundwater. So if we have soluble pollutants in surface water, that can move into groundwater and contribute to that problem. In addition, in our Central Coast area, we have a number of sensitive and some threatened species that live in our coastal streams, such as the steelhead trout. And steelhead are an example of a species that comes from the ocean and moves all the way up into our high watershed areas, which means it has to pass through all of our lower watersheds, which is where a lot of the contamination and pollution problem we're talking about exists. So in order for them to successfully complete their life cycle, they really need access to clean, clear, and cool water that's not toxic, that has a food supply, and that's what is in jeopardy when we have some of the pollution problems we're seeing. Also, our estuary areas are really important habitat, not only for steelhead, but other wildlife species. And steelhead, as an example, use the estuaries to turn into smolts, which are fish that are able to go out to sea and spend part of their life cycle at sea. We have some real severe water quality problems in our estuaries as well. So I'm going to move into talking. I'll try to be a bit more brief, talking about our data in surface water. This is just a sort of a report card, a water quality index that combines 8 measures that we are concerned with. None of these are all sort of conventional water quality measures as opposed to toxicity, but the point is, in summarizing them and combining them to a single score, we're seeing, some similar patterns to what Matt was showing, with a lot of problems in the lower Salinas Valley, some in the Pajaro up into the Hollister and Gilroy areas, the lower Santa Maria, Santa Ynez, and a few other watersheds in the region. Oh, my. Let's see. Is that the function? Function LCD. Fortunately, we have 2 other screens. It did something. There it is. Thank you. Sorry about that. I know these maps are a little hard to see with the distance and the light in the room, but what we're seeing here are maps of where our impaired waters are. If you can see the green areas in here, this is where our agricultural areas are, and the little red lines, which show our impaired waters in for nitrate and for toxicity, are in fairly similar locations, with, again, the same pattern I mentioned earlier, Pajaro, the lower Salinas, the lower Santa Maria, and a few smaller systems in San Luis County and along the south coast. This is a screenshot taken from our new website. As I mentioned, you can go look at the data here. It includes maps and charts of the information I'm talking about. Again, this is nitrate, so you can pull different parameters. So if you're interested in nitrate, you'd select it here. And the sites are scoring according to some rules that we've set up. For example, in this case, the darkest red color means that the sites exceeded our drinking water standard as a for 50% or more of the times it was sampled. The bar chart, in this case, there's different chart options, but this shows average nitrate concentrations by our major watershed areas. So each one of those bars represents a different watershed, more or less organized from north to south. So, for example, 309 is the Salinas, 312 is the Santa Maria. You can see that watershed-wide, they average well over the drinking water standard, which is this red line here. The dotted red line represents a guideline value that is protective of aquatic life. So you can see that's much lower than the drinking water standard. Also notice this is 304 is the Santa Cruz area. 307 is Carmel. 308 is Big Sur, represented by these green dots here. The reason I wanted to point these out is particularly the Santa Cruz area. There's a relatively large urban population there and a number of septic systems, and we see very little effect of that population on the surface waters in that watershed area. This is a close-up of the lower Salinas. Again, green represents agricultural areas, and you can see where we have urbanized areas. This is the city of Salinas. This is, again, taken right off the new website. The dark red sites are our severely impacted sites. You can see we have quite a number that are both upstream and downstream of the city, so we're clearly not dealing with just an urban impact, and in fact we're seeing a bit of a dilution effect in these sites immediately downstream of the city, so they're slightly less contaminated. Notice that some of the sites are represented as arrows. Those are sites where we've detected some evidence of change. Most of these arrows are in an upward pointing direction in our areas of intensively irrigated agriculture, indicating we're seeing concentrations increasing in these areas. This is an example of one site, the pink circle here. I don't see a pink circle on that site, but it's right here. Is the old Salinas River site. This drains directly into Moss Landing Harbor, downstream of the Tembladero Slough area. You can see this is one of our secant sites. We have quite a lot of data there. You can see the upward increasing trend over time. We started sampling back in 1999, so we have a long period of record. This trend has also been detected by researchers at the Monterey Bay Area Research Institute with some probe devices they've deployed down in Moss Landing Harbor. And this nitrate plume is pulled up into Elkhorn Slough on incoming tides. Again, notice the drinking water standard is represented by this pink line here. I think we have over six times the drinking water standard for some of our concentrations there. This is the Santa Maria River mouth, kind of a similar situation with very high concentrations, increasing since the beginning of our sampling in the early 1999-2000, but perhaps slowing a slight downward trend from this high point here. However, this is again, we're seeing concentrations 50 to 60 times, or 5 to 6 times the drinking water standard, entering into a very sensitive estuarine habitat. However, we are seeing some load reductions in a number of locations. So what that means is, though we might see concentrations increasing, you see a little increase here. This is at Quail Creek in the Salinas Valley. When you look at that in terms of the total load, meaning you look at the concentration relative to the volume of water, we're seeing some reductions in load. Now, that could be a result of reduced tailwater volume. So in spite of the fact that some concentrations are going up in many areas, it's possible that loads are decreasing. What we really need to do is look at this from the perspective of this year's data, once we get that into the system, because we've been in a several-year drought. We have had reductions in flows in non-agricultural areas at all. So what we want to see is whether these reductions in loads continue through this year. That would be a very good sign that we may be having tailwater reductions. The pattern for toxicity. Now, I didn't describe what toxicity is. Toxicity is a test we conduct by taking samples of water from the surface water to the laboratory, and then we expose that water sample to different test organisms, so fish, algae, or invertebrates. And then we measure whether those animals die. So it's a laboratory test, but it usually is the animals are responding to something in the water that's causing the water to be toxic. So you can see a kind of a similar pattern to the nitrate pattern, with a lot of toxicity in the lower Salinas, both above and below the city, in the Santa Maria Valley. You can see some sporadic toxicity, for example, in the Pajaro, but it's less widespread in other areas. Click the screen one more time for that slide on the other projector. There we go. Okay, this is a discharge from Quail Creek into the Salinas River. It's a relatively small volume of water entering the river, but what you can see here is that to the right of this red line, there's a little turbid plume where the water's not clear. That's where this discharge enters into the river. There was research done on this discharge that showed high levels of chlorpyrifos coming out of the Quail Creek area entering the Salinas River, and this plume, when you look both in terms of toxicity and at the benthic invertebrates in the stream bottom, show toxic effects. First hugging the bank, and then as the plume moves across stream, the effect moves across the river area. Again, lower Santa Maria River area is a very important wildlife habitat, sensitive endangered birds, steelhead trout, other species use this habitat. Our sampling site is in this location. The Cooperative Monitoring Program also samples at this location. This is toxicity data from the site, so basically the water that's entering this important habitat. You can see this is 15 of 20 samples taken for invertebrates in water show toxicity. About 4 of 6 samples in sediment show toxicity. And then we have a lesser number of samples that are toxic for fish and algae. And recall that tests for invertebrates, or rather pesticides, target invertebrates, so they tend to be more sensitive to our toxicity testing than fish might be. Algae toxicity is usually indicative of some kind of an herbicide. The sediment toxicity that I showed you just on the last slide in our area is typically associated with either, pyrethroid pesticides or chlorpyrifos, because those are the chemicals that tend to attach to sediment. A study done by the Department of Pesticide Regulation showed that the Salinas Valley area had the highest levels in the state for several measures. This was in comparison to Sacramento Valley, San Joaquin Valley, and Imperial Valley study sites. The most percent of study sites with detections of these chemicals, the highest percent of sites that exceeded levels that are toxic, that was 42% of the sites, and then the highest rate of active ingredients implied in that area, applied to the land in that area, which was threefold the rate of the other locations. I just want to comment that sometimes the problems that we see today also become tomorrow's problems. We're still dealing with some legacy pesticides in our region. For example, in Oso Flaco Lake, a recent study, data just came out in the last month, showed that concentrations of DDT and dieldrin are the highest anywhere in our recent state study and in a national study we compared the data to. So we'll be evaluating this site with the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment this year to determine if it should be posted for human health reasons. Finally, we are concerned about impacts to the marine environment. Research done by the University of California at Santa Cruz has shown that some of the large nutrient discharges from our rivers can drive toxic phytoplankton blooms, periods of time when upwelling isn't the dominant. And in addition, we've showed that the nitrate loads coming out of our rivers in the Monterey Bay area, this is data from the SeaClean program, which is a group of ocean dischargers, those loads are have been estimated at 9 times higher than what comes out of the ocean wastewater outfalls that enter Monterey Bay. In addition, we know that at least 2 marine protected areas are impacted by agricultural chemicals because both Elkhorn Slough and Morro Coho Slough, though they're inland waters, are marine protected areas and are impacted by agricultural chemicals. Elkhorn Slough is also a National Estuarine Research Reserve, and as I mentioned earlier, scientists there have shown the plume of water coming up from the Old Salinas River and pulled up into the estuary. And the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute describes areas of Elkhorn Slough as hyperventilating because of the high nitrate concentrations. In summary, in many areas where we have intensive agricultural activity, our surface waters show extremely high nitrate concentrations, widespread toxicity, and poor biological health, and there are consequences for downstream estuaries and marine protected areas. We see few improving trends in concentration, but we do see evidence of load reductions in some areas. But these waters, as they currently stand, are not healthy for aquatic life and are not supporting recharge of drinkable groundwater. That's it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.